You heard Brother Alex Gonzeski of the Agawam Ecclesia, Massachusetts, is going to address himself to the subject, Wait on the Lord. Brother Alex.
First of all, friends, I want to send a message of Christian love and greetings from a brother out in the west coast of Florida, Joseph Kesinkiewicz. I met some of the Polish sisters who have arrived from that area, and he would like to have Christian love and greetings sent to the class. There are many subjects in the Bible, and the more we search, the more we find. And I thought, living in the day in which we do, 1983, and as Brother mentioned this morning, that though it tarry, wait for it. And my subject, as it was announced, I hope it's not my subject, but I just use that term, it's always referring to the Lord's Word, wait on the Lord. Friends have expected, as mentioned this morning, that in 1914 the kingdom would be established. And yet here we are, 1983, and still waiting. Did it ever dawn upon you that waiting is part of the test upon the Lord's people? It seems that the Lord knows how to test us. And waiting is not easy, is it? How often we have waited in certain circumstances, and we've become nervous and excited and restless. And yet, the Lord permits us to go into these experiences of waiting. Our scripture text is found in the Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It is repeated twice in that verse, wait upon the Lord. That's something like Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice in the Lord. And so the emphasis is upon waiting as we contemplate the lessons that the Lord has for us. Waiting, the meaning of the word wait, as we looked it up in the dictionary, to look mentally, to be in expectation, to stay or remain in readiness for action. Readiness for action. What could be more appropriate than to look upon the characters of the Old Testament as a lesson of waiting on the Lord? Again, we repeat, as we did before, the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans, the 15th chapter and 4th verse. Whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And in Hosea, we have these words. I have also spoken in the 12th chapter and 10th verse, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Huh? And so we go to the Old Testament looking for lessons of waiting. One of the earliest experiences of those of ancient days is Noah. Noah has been mentioned here from the platform before, but we're going to direct our thoughts on waiting. You can imagine the scene better than probably I can describe. The lessons of Noah and the ark. For many years he was building this ark. And I can just imagine how they ridiculed him when he said that there's going to be a flood. They must have laughed at him and joked about him, as we would say in our modern language. But Noah paid no attention. He continued to build. And so the time arrived when he had gathered all the animals and his family, his sons and daughter-in-laws. They went into the ark, and the door was shut. But there was a period of waiting there. 7 days of waiting. I can just picture, probably the members of the family would say, "Father, here we are one day sitting here in this ark waiting for it to rain. Nothing happened." And then the second day, you know, when you begin to wait, it works on your mind. And finally the third day, "Well, Father, are you sure that God had spoken to you that there's going to be a flood?" And so Father patiently waiting, and the fourth day, it becomes more and more a test of patience, doesn't it, of waiting. And the fifth day, and the sixth day. Now I can imagine the family is really upset with Father Noah. Huh? But Noah, by faith, waited till the seventh day, and then the waters began to flow. Brethren, I don't know how I would act if I was Noah, but I can see that it was a severe test for Noah to wait, and especially when you have others questioning you. And so when I think of the day in which you and I live, Brother Russell did say in many of the articles that it will always be a question in mind when the old age ends and a new age enters in. There's no definite mark. It'll always be a time of questions, and so here we are, friends. We're waiting, aren't we? And you hear all kinds of voices, waitings. And so the test of waiting by faith, as Noah did, for the proper time. I can imagine that scripture that was read this morning by Brother Roskowitz, that the Lord had known beforehand that we as God's people would always be rushing into things. And therefore, I think this scripture given by the prophet Habakkuk, second chapter 3, "For the vision is yet an appointed time, but the end it shall speak and lie not. Though it tarry, wait for it." The Lord knew that we would be rushing things. And so by the prophet he had mentioned in one way that it would tarry, but really not tarry. The divine clock, someone has said, the divine clock is so large And the hands of that clock move so slowly that the natural mind or the human mind cannot discern its movement. And so here we are, the divine clock. I feel that the divine clock is accurate. It is that we do not read it accurately. We try to figure ahead of time. And when you stop to think of the reformers of the past, they've all rushed things ahead of time. Think of Brother Miller out there in New York State, 1844. They expected the Lord to come. I don't think there is any shame to that, hoping for the Lord to come. But at that time, it drew attention to the scriptures that the Lord would come again. I recall in Poland, sister was telling me about their experiences during World War II. And really, what some of our friends have gone through over there during when Hitler went through Poland, it's indescribable. Can't describe what things they have gone through. It is only those who have gone through would know definitely. But the sister was telling, we thought when the bombs and everything coming upon Poland, as a matter of fact, Warsaw was destroyed to the extent of 80%. And she mentioned that the brethren there were saying, surely the Lord is coming, the kingdom is going to be established soon. And she said something that I've always remembered. Even though it did not be established then, yet she said, I think the Lord was pleased that we were looking for him and waiting for him. And so that is the way it is with us. We're still waiting. Still waiting for the time to come. Let us take another character of the Old Testament who waited. Abraham, that wonderful man of faith, who almost against hope still had hope and still by faith continued to journey. At the age of 75, he left Haran to go to the land of promise. Think of the hardships that they have endured in traveling with a caravan, camels, whatever else they had, and all the children and the women. It's a struggle, and yet they travel. Abraham traveled, not knowing where he staggered, not at the promises, not really knowing where he is going, in the sense he didn't know what would happen to him. But by faith, he went into the land of promise. And because of his faithfulness, and his struggles through life and his journeys, the Lord has promised him the land. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth. Well, he waited for that seed. How long did he wait? And it is recorded 25 years. Now, brethren, here we are, 1983. Friends have expected 1914. We're still waiting for the redemption of the human family. The human family is still groaning. And you and I are still waiting. Remember, the Apostle Paul mentioned something in the 8th chapter of Romans. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world does not know of this, we realize that, but actually from the divine standpoint they are still waiting, even though they're in the dust of the earth. Job mentions that too. Though he would return to dust, yet he would be waiting for the time to come when the restitution of all of the families of the earth would be in operation. And so the test of waiting. Noah waited. Abraham waited so long for that promised seed. And when Isaac did come on his seed, then the Lord told him to sacrifice him. I marvel, brethren, I marvel at the faith of Abraham. But you and I have the history of the past to help us. We are the most fortunate people on this planet Earth to have a knowledge of the Lord, and to have the history of the past to assist us to look to the future. And if it wasn't for God's word, where would we be? And so the Lord, through the prophets of old, had not only given us the promises, but also the lessons of patience, of faith, and of waiting upon Him. And so Moses, as another character, oh, what a wonderful character. We realize that the more we study these characters, the more we marvel at their faithfulness. And yet, brethren, they only had a little spark of light. God had spoken to them, and they obeyed. As we mentioned before, we have the history of the past before us. We have the signs of the times surrounding us. And these in the early history of mankind, by faith, obeyed God and waited patiently. Moses at the age of 40, who's in the household of Pharaoh, taught in all the wisdom the Egyptians had. He must have been a very handsome man, according to historians. And at the age of 40, his heart was not set in Egypt, was it? And I can just picture his mother when she had taken care of him. You remember, the babe was returned to the mother, and she was paid wages to take care of her own son. Isn't that remarkable? Well, the Lord does the same thing with us. Huh? We give our all to the Lord, and He returns it to us with blessings. Greater blessings than any other way that we could enjoy it. A richer blessing, a higher blessing. The mother was paid wages to take care of Moses. Our thought is that the mother was, I'm sure she spoke to that son, because they hid him, you remember, for 3 months by faith, meaning that God is going to use him to deliver Israel, who found themselves in Egyptian bondage, and that he would be a favored son. And I just picture, at the age of 40, he thought, now's the time to deliver Israel. And so he went into the camp of Israel. And there he saw the taskmasters beating the Israelites. And Moses, in his righteous indignation, could not help but maybe strike one, which he did too hard and ended the life. Moses then had to run away because Pharaoh heard about it. Now, then Moses went into the wilderness for 40 years. Think of it. 40 years is a long time, and yet he did. I can imagine if I was Moses, I would have lost hope of ever being a deliverer of the children of Israel. But yet, patiently, the Lord knew that he still could use him. You can imagine, too, the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. You know, sometimes we don't know what experiences are best for us. The very things that we think would be best for us would be the worst. And so in the case of Moses, I can imagine him saying, I wonder, is the Lord dealing with me? Is he going to use me? I still have faith in that my mother had told me that I would deliver the children of Israel, the Lord would use me. And so the Lord had spoken to Moses in the burning bush. And now he was 80 years of age. Today, 80 years of age is quite an old age, isn't it? But I imagine at that time, the human family had not fallen in that depraved condition as it is today. I marvel that there's any semblance of God-likeness in the humanity today. That we're so delighted to see human beings who do not know the Lord, yet there's some semblance of spark of godliness and righteous discernment. We realize, too, that there's the opposite. And we're coming rapidly to the end of this old world. And so, brethren, waiting on the Lord. Moses waited the proper time. He was not discouraged. He did not refuse the voice of the Lord. He proceeded and accomplished that which the Lord had designed for him. David is another wonderful character. In the first Samuel, the 26th chapter, there's something about that, as well as in Samuel, the 16th chapter. And there are many other scriptures relating to David. But one thing I would like to mention about David is that he was anointed to be king of Israel, but Saul was king in the meantime. Now, David waited a long time. He did not rush into it. He didn't take the presumptuous attitude of taking over the kingdom from Saul. He waited. He had an opportunity to, through the skirmishes that they had. You know, Saul always pursued David and his crew of men that he had with him. He was always hiding and away from the king. The king, Saul, was very jealous of him. And gradually the spirit of the Lord was going away from Saul. Departing, in other words. But David had an opportunity in some of the skirmishes, in the battles that they had, to actually kill Saul. The men had actually been right there. All they had to do was take a spear when Saul was asleep to strike him, and that would be the end. But the remarkable thing about it is, you know, David was not begotten of the Spirit like the Lord's people are. There's a difference between the spirit of the prophets and the spirit of the new creature in Christ. The spirit of the prophets were to predict things to come, although they did not understand them. They prophesied of things that the Lord wanted them to do and to say. But the spirit of the new creature in Christ is to understand what they have written. and understanding of it. You can understand, too, how Jesus, in his day, had the problem of trying to explain to them that he was the Messiah, but that he must have suffered many things. They could not understand that. They believed that he was the Messiah. Verily, we have found the one who is to come, as they said, of which Moses wrote about. But the fact is, they believed that he was the Messiah, and as was mentioned this morning in Acts, they spoke to our Lord, would he restore the kingdom to Israel? They were looking at it from a natural standpoint. But our Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, you recall on the road to Emmaus, they were so saddened that they trusted that he would deliver the children of Israel, that is our Lord, Jesus would. And this stranger on the road to Emmaus mentioned, and he was talking to them. They did not behold him. They didn't know who he was. They thought he was just a traveler. And beginning from Moses, 24th chapter of Luke, beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Ought not Christ to suffer and to enter his glory? So the early disciples did not understand until the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost began to open up these scriptures. And so these prophets of old, they did not fully understand, but they had that remarkable faith that they continued to the end of their journey waiting upon the Lord. And so David had said, he could have smitten Saul right there. And this is what he said, but I would not stretch my hand against the Lord's anointed. He would not, the Lord's anointed, he would not strike those who are chosen of the Lord. It was his proper place to be king and ruler of Israel. He was anointed to be king, but he waited till the Lord's time. Brethren, I think that's a lesson for us too. David was to be king. There's a time in which we have to wait until our Lord Jesus is really king. We know that he is the king, that he is our mighty one. As the apostle mentions, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. We don't see that yet, do we? Still he's king. We know he's king. There's another scripture in Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Today, we don't see the church completed. His angels, picture the church, are not fully with him. And yet we know he's a king. He will be a king and a mighty one. Now, I often thought of that word reign. I looked it up in the dictionary. Just look it up for your convenience, the word reign. It means complete sovereignty. And so you and I have to wait until the proper time. There's always a question when the end of the age is coming. And the Lord permits that. We have to be patient with one another and wait for the proper time. Oh, I know all of us would want the kingdom now, of course. We'd want to lift the humanity from that terrible condition in which they find themselves. how beautiful our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus knew the history of mankind. And our Lord at the first advent, when he spake in parables and dark sayings, and one of the parables is the prodigal son. You remember? And there's another thing about the kingdom I would suggest. God never forces anybody to believe in him. God never forces his ideas on somebody. They must be willing and eager to accept them. And so that is what is happening, I think. The Lord is waiting until humanity is eager and wanting the kingdom. And that's the scripture. Isaiah, 2nd chapter, 2nd verse. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains. And they shall say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord's house, and he will teach us of his ways, and we'll walk in his paths. There's a desire. If I'm not mistaken, Psalm 110, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The world is not willing yet. Oh, they got food of their own. Huh? What I'm thinking of, you know, during Joseph's time, Joseph predicted. Pharaoh had a dream, you remember. We will not go into details, but Joseph interpreted the dream. There was 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And I'm using this illustration to illustrate something. The people must be willing. They must be hungry for the truth, for the Lord. And then the Lord will feed them. During the 7 years of plenty, when Joseph, as the great governor in the land of Egypt, collected in storehouses, and that must have been quite an operation. For 7 years. And then the famine began. And the people in the land were hungry. And finally, they went to Pharaoh. And what did Pharaoh say? Go to Joseph. Huh? Now, what does this have to do with the world? I'm using it in a different direction, in a different way. When there was plenty of food, they weren't looking for Joseph, were they? But when there was no food, then they had to come to Joseph. Brethren, the world has its own food yet. Evolution, Trinity, all the other isms, all kinds of religions. They still have their own food, and they seem to be satisfied. But when they begin to be hungry, when they begin to see that their systems and their teachings have no foundation, where will they go? They'll have to go to Joseph, the antitypical Joseph. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord's house. He will teach us. He will feed us with the word of truth. And so, brethren, how wonderful are those who patiently wait for the Lord, who do not rush into things, waiting for the proper time. And so David, he didn't want to smite Saul. He waited at the proper time. Oh, what a beautiful spirit David had. But brethren, I'd like to consider the apostles, the disciples in the early days. In the 9th chapter of Luke 51:55. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, our Lord Jesus. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they that did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? And he turned and rebuked them. He said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Brethren, let us have the proper spirit, waiting for the Lord, waiting for his time. Brethren, there's so much more, and I see brother is here already, but I would like to mention something about Joseph again. You know, Joseph, as a young boy, 17 years of age, went to see his brethren in the distant land who were taking care of cattle. And then you remember they hated him and they sold him and he went into Egypt. He was there as a slave for 10 years, as a slave. Potiphar, the one who had bought him, used him as a slave. But he noticed that everything that Joseph did prospered. And so he had him manage things. Can you picture yourself there? I think I would, if I had the opportunity, I would run away. He had the opportunity. He was on his own. Potiphar's put him in his place, that is, to manage the household, whatever it was. Joseph could have run away, but he didn't. He waited till the Lord's time. He had a dream. He knew that the Lord would use him someday, and patiently he waited. Waited till the proper time. And you know the rest of the story. So, brethren, here we are. We are waiting too. And in due time, God will arrange his wonderful kingdom for which you and I are praying for. I'll close with the reading of Micah, the 7th chapter. This is the day in which we live. Just listen to these words. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desireth the first ripe fruit. There's not much fruit, is there, being manifested as far as new creatures in Christ. Years ago there were many, but now the harvest is sort of fading. One here and one there. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Every man's hand against his neighbor, as the brethren had read. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly, the prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man, he uttered his mischievous desire, so they wrapped it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in the friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Then the next verse, brethren. We know that condition exists today. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the Lord of my salvation. My God will hear me. Friends, wait on the Lord. And again I say, wait on the Lord. Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Gonjewski. A lot of admonitions there. We want to make sure that we're not just waiting in idleness, are we? Let's keep ourselves right in that saddle and make sure that we have that divine plan laid out before us, and we're have a thus saith the Lord, as the brother suggested, for all that we have.